We do this every Friday. It's called Crystal Ballin', where we bring in Jay Yeomans, who is one of the big guys over at the D News, sports columnist, generally writing about things related to Cougars and Jazz. He's locked on. He's the force behind jmoneysports.com. Great website there. You want to tap into what Cougar basketball players are doing abroad. That's one of his labors of love. And when you mention Jazz, his ears perk up, and he's got opinions, which that's one of the reasons he's here every Friday. Jay, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I love the I love the 80s lead-in music you guys were running. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it took us, takes us back. You did not listen to the last segment, I hope.
I was just getting out of a another meeting, so
good.
I didn't hear
Good. I would not call it radio gold. It was radio something.
Oh, that was awesome.
Not gold. Anyway, now we move on. And no, it was. It was fun. I had a good time. It was our "You Got to Be Kidding Me" segment that it just kind of went. It went south, but in a good way, I believe. So, Jay, it's always great to have you on. There's a lot of things to talk about today, but I wanted to kind of hit up, particularly, you know, maybe the draft is around the corner. The Warriors pretty much taking care of business. Big 12 not going to expand. I know that you have a lot of opinions. Maybe we'll start off with that lack of news out of Dallas. And more and more, it looks like it's, you know, later rather than sooner on the expansion. Just your general thoughts about what's going on there and really how this affects Cougar Nation going forward, because, you know, there are a lot of people who thought there would be expansion and then BYU would be in, and then it's a whole nother world in the next couple of years.
Well, it's what happened this weekend is very much what we talked about last Friday. They weren't going to make a decision. And because they're not going to make a decision, of course they're not going to expand for 2016. That was off the table no matter what, because you couldn't change all the schedules, and it's going to have to be pushed back for a couple of years no matter when they decide, because those schedules are already laid out, and it'd be too impossible to buy out 12 games on everybody's schedules, right, and revamp everything. So that didn't come as a shock to me. What's more of a shock to me is the fact that everybody who's coming out and talking from the Big 12 is flip-flopping so much that we could have news tomorrow that would be exactly opposite from the news we had yesterday.
That is true. There are, I mean, it's like fish on the beach. There's flip-flopping all over the place, but I just don't, you know, there's not a big enough case. I guess that's the thing. I guess my read on it was so wrong, is that there's not a big enough case to make, you know, the elephant on the couch, Texas, rise up and be willing to change, you know, the deal they have with ESPN for the Longhorn Network. That's kind of a disaster, but still it's ESPN's way of securing Texas and keeping them in the Big 12 and keeping the Big 12 viable. And, you know, the idea that, you know, I'm looking at all these things through the prism of BYU and where, you know, what now? Because, I mean, clearly the schedule for independence is great this year, but, you know, I kind of buy in with Bronco that it's not viable going forward in terms of a long-term solution or a long-term plan to build a program around. And so then where do you hang your hat next?
Well, I think you've still got to look and hope that Texas changes its mind and not just acquiesces to the other nine teams in the conference, because if the Big 12 doesn't expand at some time soon, they're going to be the one that's going to be cherry-picked, and they're going to be the conference that disappears, because right when, if Texas ever decides to leave, then Oklahoma's gone, and
it's
everybody
gone.
Else is just in a scramble. So you've got to hope that when they do their due diligence over the next 3 or 4 months, they come back and go, well, if we want to keep ourselves together, to keep ourselves viable and not dissolve when they go to four power conferences and the four power conferences with 16 teams each,
yep,
that they've got to be proactive. And they haven't been in the past, and that's why they've lost four of their member schools already and had to bring in TCU and had to bring in West Virginia. They need to be proactive. I mean, that's why the ACC is still around, because they were proactive and they picked apart the Big East when they did. and it's made a big difference for them. So when it comes to how that plays out for BYU, that's exactly what BYU needs. BYU needs the Big 12 to decide that they need to be stronger rather than vulnerable to be picked apart, because if not, then things can get a little bit scary, because if you go to four power conferences with 16 teams and you've already got 70 schools there, when they work those around, unless the Pac-12 is taking BYU or somehow the Big 12 makes a huge comeback and gets four or five schools or six schools to make themselves a very viable 16-team conference, then BYU might be looking at independence for a really long stretch.
Right. Yeah, that's well articulated. And, you know, the other issues, I mean, getting unanimity in the Big 12, forget about that. And I kept hearing, from different people how dysfunctional it is. And it is all kinds of competing agendas. But why? I mean, we may have talked about this last time. Why wouldn't the Big 12? Well, I know, because they're not, they're not pushing the envelope. They don't have the kind of minds that will push the envelope. But why wouldn't they just tack on six, do some cherry picking their own, and come up, be the trendsetter, be the first super conference? Go 16 and then put the pressure on everybody else, including rating some other conferences.
Well, I know with how the contracts are drawn out, it's nearly impossible to raid the other Power 5
right.
conferences. So if they were to grab six, they're having a hard time.
From
what I understand, they're having a hard time picking two. So
right.
it would be nearly impossible for them to gather six teams that they like and think that they would be viable. Because think about how they would have to stretch out that conference. If you went UConn and BYU and South and Central Florida and Memphis and Cincinnati and Boise State,
Houston, maybe
it would just be a mess. I mean, you'd have a nationwide conference basically, and that's what it'd end up being. So I think that's what scares them. But the thing they need to do is they really need to be proactive. They can't sit on their hands anymore. They were the one conference who is still around, is still alive and functioning at a power level, thanks to Texas and Oklahoma, who hasn't really been proactive, and they need to take that step forward before somebody else does or they're done.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I guess what we're left with is more of this, more of conjecture and hoping, and, we'll see next year maybe. Anyway, stay tuned. Jay Yeomans is with us, a columnist for the DNews, certainly clued into Cougar Nation, what's going on there, and the man and the power and spirit behind jmoneysports.com. I recommend that you tune in there. Go check out Jay's great follow of BYU basketball players worldwide. And, of course, the Jazz are always a topic, and let's go there. And I know it's kind of hard to evaluate the Jazz backcourt with Dante Exum is a lot of – I mean, there's reason to really feel good about where he's going to be, but where he is, say, when this season starts, is up in the air. Not even so much with the knee. I expect he'll come back healthy. And we know he's long and he understands defensive principles, but it's really how he contributes on offense that will kind of dictate the kind of player he is with this team and his place in the Western Conference among other guards in the league. But how does this backcourt get? Alec Burks, jury's kind of out in my mind. He's not injury prone yet, but he's one more injury away from being injury prone. And he's not a spacing kind of a shooter. He'll hit some threes. He's kind of a streaky guy. I love his attacking the rim, but he's not as great. He's not really as good a defender as I imagine he should be, with given his quickness and length and overall skill set. Rodney Hood, is he a three or a two? I love him as a big guard. But what do you think about how the Jazz backcourt kind of, is within themselves, and also how does it stack up against the West? Because remember, the Kings are going to be better with Dave Yeager, and then I believe the Lakers aren't going to be down very long, and the T-Wolves with talent and Tom Thibodeau, they're going to be a force pretty soon too.
Yeah, as I've watched the playoffs, I've noticed the teams that move farther on, they're loaded backcourts,
right?
Especially in the West, but I mean even in the East, your final two teams were Toronto, who has DeRozan and Lowry. And then obviously Kyrie Irving and a knockdown shooter like J.R. Smith. And then you go over to the West and you've got Clay and Steph, and you had Dame and C.J. McCollum. And San Antonio's got a really solid backcourt who does exactly what they ask him to do, and Tony Parker and Danny Green. And you've got to wonder, how are the Jazz going to progress? And it's got to come from the backcourt. They need to make strides, and it's got to start with Dante Exum. He can't be the kind of guy he was as a rookie, and nobody expects him to be that, because if he's that, he won't be in the league for very long. But he needs to make strides. He needs to take a huge jump forward, because they need to really be in a situation where he can be one of the top five or six point guards in the West for them to ever expect to compete at a high level.
Now, that's a great point, but if you're drinking the Kool-Aid, if you're the Jazz fan base, some of their beat writers and certainly the management, I mean, they believe that Exum is on his way. I mean, although, you know, that's a portfolio before performance, you know, and we look at his performance, and I think defensively, okay, he's long and he's quick and he gets team defense, but I agree, what's he going to give you on offense? Because that really, in the West, you can't have a one-dimensional point guard.
Oh, no, he needs to be able to get to the point this year where he's scoring in double figures, where he's shooting it from 35 to 40% from three, and where his distribution jumps up a huge amount. He needs to at least be 10 or 5, 10 and 6, 12 and 6 this year, and show on the defensive end. And Rodney Hood needs to take a step forward too. He took a huge jump this year, but he needs to take another jump, because if you want to compete, those guys got to be special. The West is too talented. They're too deep in the backcourt, and you need to have guys who can step up and play right away, because, like you said, Sacramento's going to be better. Everybody behind them, outside of maybe Phoenix, will be a lot healthier, but everybody else is trying to, you know, they're going to make steps forward. Memphis
sure.
is going to be better. They're going to be healthy. And obviously, they made the playoffs anyway. So if you're looking at teams like New Orleans and Sacramento and teams like that, they're pushing. They're coming for the Jazz. They're not just coming for, you know, to get to 35 or 40 wins. They're trying to make playoff spots too and get better. So you can't just look at the teams in front of them. The teams behind them are coming after him. Sacramento might be a little bit of a different story, though, because Rajon Rondo's a free agent. Chances are he won't re-sign there, and Darren Collison, who looked to be slated to be their starting point guard, might have some issues because of some
yep.
off-the-court issues that just happened recently.
I'm just wondering, you know, how much, you know, maybe too much is made, how much pressure, maybe that's the wrong word, but it would be on Exum when he comes in November and December and January. You know, he is still just a second-year guy, and coming off, you know, the other added, you know, it's kind of a something you don't want to have. You know, second year, it's enough, but now you're coming off ACL, so there's some other questions there. Now, like Mike Conley, you know, we talked about this. I think bringing him in would be a nice thing. I'm not sure he's coming here, but is there too much on Exum? And beyond that, if it takes him, say, like, remember Nash, it took 3 or 4 years, and then he was Steve Nash and an MVP, and it takes that kind of time. Do the Jazz have another 2 years to wait for Exum to develop? Because everybody else's contracts are coming up, and Gordon has politely said, you know, he's going to opt out. They're going to have to pay him 30-something million a year. And he said, you know, I like the pace we're on, but, you know, absolutely, you know, winning is going to factor into my decision. So how long do they have to watch Dante Exum develop?
Well, I think he needs to take 2 steps forward this year.
And that's a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he hasn't played basketball in 2 of the last 3 years. I mean, he didn't really play the year before he got drafted, then played as a rookie, then tears his ACL. So he's got to take 2 steps forward. He can't be the 30th ranked starting point guard in the NBA this year, or guys are going to bolt. Nobody expects him to go from what he did and tearing an ACL to being a 20-10 guy, but he can't just be a 6-4 guy.
Right.
He's got to step up. He's got to make a huge jump. And I mean, they tell us in the media, in the same way they talk about Trey Lyles, as they're the golden boys, but I hope behind the scenes they're not putting that kind of pressure on them, because if they do, some guys just don't have the strength to handle that, and they just wilt. And then you just lose somebody who might have been special. So hopefully they're bringing him along at the right pace behind the scenes, because you can't just throw him into the fire after all he's been through in the last couple of years and say, all right, here you go. Here's the ball. We want you to be the man, and we expect you to get 20-10 this year.
Right. Right. It's you know, one of the things we find out year in and year out, just it's a really good league. There's a lot of really good players, and you know, everybody, as you mentioned, below, up top, everybody's getting better. So great stuff. Great checking in with you. Have a good weekend. Look forward to talking to you next Friday on Crystal Ballin'. Jay Yeomans, you can read him in the Deseret News, and certainly jmoneysports.com. Go there Great stuff on your website. Thanks, Jay. Have a good weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.